The Jewish Hour is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or Palm. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher, smart radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you. Sit back, relax, enjoy that morning cup of joe. Or if you're driving, please keep both hands on the wheel. And for sure, don't touch that dial for the next 58 minutes. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview. This is going to be really fascinating. This is radio worth listening to. Rabbi Shlomo Polacek wrote a book on the philosophy of Judaism. And how do we know about it? This is really awesome. This book, I would definitely recommend it. We got lots of wonderful music for you to listen to. The portion of the week is the portion of Chukas. Normally it'd be Chukas Balak, but for reasons beknownst to those who set up the calendar, it's just Chukas, which is chapter 19 of the book of Numbers and following. We have an awesome story this week. Yesterday we celebrated the Yahrzeit, the passing of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, year 18 since his passing. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A number of Merkava tanks were moved to the border with Egypt after two Palestinian Authority terrorists killed 36-year-old Saeed Farfasha, an Israeli Arab from Haifa and father of four. A second worker was wounded as well. Golani troops opened fire, killing the terrorists. The fence Farfasha was working on is part of the security system that Israelis are building along the Egyptian border. The IAF responded by taking out terror targets in Gaza, including a terrorist cell engaged in firing rockets at southern Israel. Sources in Gaza said two terrorists were killed in the strike. Terrorists continued their rocket fire, hitting southern Israel four times, as for example, terrorists from Hamas-controlled Gaza fired a medium-range Grad Katusha missile that landed in an open area just outside of Beersheba. Three rockets were fired towards Ashkelon. One of the rockets was intercepted by the Iron Dome missile defense system. Two other rockets exploded in open areas near the city. There were no reported injuries or damage. This all comes after Hamas declared a ceasefire. Deputy Prime Minister Shaul Mofaz in Washington this week had an unscheduled meeting with U.S. President Barack Obama on Thursday. The president unexpectedly joined a meeting between Mofaz and National Security Advisor Tom Donilon at the White House. During the meeting, which lasted over half an hour, Mofaz briefed the president on the newly formed coalition in the Knesset and talks with the Palestinian Authority. They also discussed Iran and Egypt. A mosque near Ramallah was set on fire in an apparent arson attack sprayed with graffiti. Locals believe that the vandalism was part of a price tag attack. Price tag vandals target Arabs and IDF in response to PA attacks and the demolition of Israeli homes, such as what's going on now in the Ulpana neighborhood in the West Bank. In other news, Swiss, listen to this, if you know anybody who lives in Israel, Swiss branches of two Israeli banks are indicted by the U.S. Department of Justice for helping Americans conceal their offshore assets. The indictment, filed with the U.S. District Court in California, centers on United Revenue Services, Inc., a California and Nevada-based tax preparation firm owned by two Israeli Americans. Thousands of American citizens who filed legitimate claims, correct tax returns from Israel discovered this year that they are under investigation and are being audited by the IRS for fiscal years 2009 and 2010. In some distressing news, Guma Aguar, a Florida businessman and philanthropist who has given millions of dollars to Jewish causes, is missing at sea. Aguar, the CRO of Lore Energy, who lives in Fort Lauderdale, was last seen Tuesday evening. His 31-foot yacht washed ashore in Fort Lauderdale early Wednesday morning. Very distressing. The Midwood section of Brooklyn was the scene of many acts of anti-Semitism this week. Five synagogues were broken into, swastikas were painted on Jewish-owned buildings, and cars belonging to Orthodox Jews had their windows blown out with BB guns. Police are investigating the acts as hate crimes and are trying to link the events together. Don't need too much to link them there, buddy. And finally, the Jewish community of northern Italy is collecting funds to restore synagogues damaged by earthquakes in late May. Synagogues in the cities of Ferrara, Modena, Mantova, Sabbioneta, and Saronna suffered damage. And that's the news. Do you know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile. Hey, Shulton, and here you're listening to the Jewish Hour. We have on live Rabbi Shlomo Polishek, who has written a book called The Biblical Outlook, Topics in Jewish Philosophy. How are you today, Rabbi Polishek?
Hello, how are you?
Good, Baruch Hashem. Thank God we're doing quite well. Philosophy is something which is fascinating. It's what got me and keeps me involved in Judaism. Topics that you're discussed in this book, which you've written, are things that have intrigued me for decades now. And so I got really excited when I was sent this book by Panina Press, and I'm quite enthused. So tell us about what prompted you, Rabbi Polishek, to write The Biblical Outlook, Topics in Jewish Philosophy.
Yes, well, I had noticed that that in general, most books on Jewish philosophy were significantly influenced by non-Jewish sources, and the purpose of this book was to concentrate on clear and unequivocal Jewish sources as a source for Jewish philosophy. The sources are the books of the Bible, Torah, prophets, and scriptures, plus the halakhic clarifications by the sages on issues relating to practice, and these seemed to be the appropriate sources to be used for generating a fully proper Jewish philosophy, and therefore I set about to using these sources to see what Jewish philosophy is generated by these sources.
That's very intriguing, because when I think Jewish philosophy specifically, I'm thinking, say, Pirkei Avos, Maimonides with Mari Nevuchim, and some of the things which were found in the Mishneh Torah, Reb Sadia Gaon, the Chaim Lozato, Hasidic masters, etc., along this line. And it never occurred to me that they would have non-Jewish sources incorporated in their philosophy. Let's say, for example, let's take Maimonides, for example.
And Maimonides is known that he was very much influenced by Aristotelian philosophy that was very popular in his day, and various elements of things that were written in the Mor Nevuchim reflect that, and the idea in this book was to start with the sources themselves and to see what comes from there without being influenced by other ideas.
Okay, understood. Now, one of the things that really fascinates me is creation theory. And of course, if you want to talk creation, so you have to start with Genesis 1:1. But in writing about it, I mean, there is already a lot. I would say everything that calls itself Kabbalah is an explanation of chapter 1 of the book of Genesis. But you're not approaching this from a capitalistic point of view, are you, Rabbi Polishek?
No, not at all, because for one thing, Kabbalah, as well as the whole body of Midrash Agadah, which Kabbalah is a continuation of in a certain sense, is not really totally unequivocal, because in Midrash Haggadah there are different points of view that are expressed, and there is no attempt to clarify such contradictions that exist in Midrash Haggadah or in Kabbalah as there is in Halakha. So therefore, the elucidation that is done in Halakha is not done in issues of Haggadah, and therefore I didn't see that it was appropriate to use that as a source. And therefore, I limited to myself to what is actually in the Bible itself on that subject.
Okay, could you explain for our listening audience the difference between halacha and agada, please, Rabbi Polchak?
Yes, halacha are issues relating to what is actually practiced. In other words, where there is a practice that is affected by an issue or a discussion, that's halakha. Agadah is anything which is not related to practice. And practice, by the way, can relate also to practice that existed in the past in the temple or whatever. But in any case, it has to do with practice. And anything which is homiletical, which does not relate to practice, is agadah.
Okay, very good. A lot of a body of everybody who has some sort of philosophical bent in Judaism discusses the composition of the Almighty. What is God? And in your chapter, you have a chapter here on God's attributes. And I'm concerned about one of the 13 basic principles of faith written down by Maimonides. Is that God is not corporeal in any way, shape, or form. Yet the Bible is rife with all different anthropomorphisms. This is the finger of God, and this is the hand of God, and the whole entire Bible. I wish I had a dollar for every time it says, and God spoke. And all of these different ways in which we're trying to confine the Almighty, especially with the vision of Isaiah, with the Kisya Kavod, the throne of glory, with all the ministering angels, which is people get this misconception of God being an old man sitting on the throne. How do you deal with it in your book, The Biblical Outlook, Rabbi Shlomo Polichuk?
Well, in general, there's... In general, as far as that's concerned, I relate to them as what I call manifestations. Manifestations are how we perceive God in various ways. For example, God's face or God's voice are manifestations of God that we perceive. And the Torah doesn't explain what these things are, and therefore the book doesn't go beyond that in trying to understand. It just points out that these are God's manifestations as they're perceived by us.
Uh-huh. In other words, not to say that God has a mouth, finger, face, etc., but because we are limited in our scope of understanding to three dimensions, these can all best be understood allegorically to refer to some way in which the Almighty relates to us so that we can relate to the Almighty. Would that be correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, terrific. I'm glad that's clarified. The idea of revelation, one of the bigger chapters in the book, is of God speaking and relating his message to people. In fact, I mean, that's what we believe the entire Bible is. I mean, it would seem to me, and I'm just saying this somewhat glibly, tongue-in-cheekly, that if you're going to have a book which discusses how God spoke to humankind, you'd have to include from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Chronicles 2. So tell us about the purpose of divine revelation, how it's manifest, how we know about it, please, Rabbi Polichuk.
Yes. Well, first of all, there are two aspects here. There's the revelation experience itself, which is how people perceive revelation, and there's a wide variety of types of revelation experiences that people had. There's in the most clear-cut case, there's the revelation on Mount Sinai, and then there are all sorts of visions and images and voices and divine inspiration and so forth that various people had in various ways, and there are various types of revelation experiences. The purposes of revelation were also quite varied. Various purposes of revelation include God's commands to us for all generations, as well as specific instructions as how to act in given situations. There are additional purposes. Occasionally, you have revelation which is reproof, revelation which is for the purpose of providing beneficence. There are promises and warnings. There is a wide variety of purposes of revelations as well, and the experiences and the purposes are not necessarily connected to each other, but in general there are a wide variation of experiences that people have, and various purposes that God has for revealing Himself to us.
Okay, can we extrapolate from the various stories, experiences, soliloquies, and etc. from the Bible that incidents of biblical proportion are still going on today? I always get this question all the time, is how come we don't get splittings of seas and manna falling from heaven and walls falling down from around cities as we did in the Bible? And my response to them is well, we kind of sort of do, it's just that you don't see it as such. How would you respond to that, Rabbi Kolacher?
Well, in general, clear revelations, as are described in the Bible, in a very, very explicit manner, we have not had in the last couple of thousand years. But God decides when He wants to have explicit revelations and when He does not. And if we don't have very explicit revelations as they had in the past, that's God's decision as to how He wants to express Himself to us today. There are many manifestations of God that we have today, and which are not clear revelations, and that's a matter of people understanding them appropriately. But God has decided that over the last couple of thousand years not to reveal Himself as clearly as He did before that, and this could change at any moment.
Yeah, let's focus it on this. This is actually really cool. You have, for example, in the Bible, there are different types of miracles. You have the story of Esther. And the big thing in the book of Esther is that God's name doesn't even appear there. And there are those people who wanted, way back when they were canonizing the Bible, wanted to exclude it because God doesn't appear in the Bible. Yet everybody now, 2,500 years later, says that, oh yes, of course, the book of Esther was quite miraculous. And I'm thinking, when I was reading through the book and reading through this chapter, I was thinking about the discussion which ensued among rabbis back in 1977 after the Entebbe raid. Was this a miracle? Was this direct godly involvement? Or was this not? And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, said that, oh, absolutely, 100%, that if you go to Entebbe Airport, you have to say a blessing that God made a miracle in this place. It was open and apparent and obvious to everybody. So do we have, so in answer to the question to you then, Rabbi, we're speaking to, for those who are just tuning in, we're speaking with Rabbi Shlomo Polishek, who's just written a book called The Biblical Outlook, Topics in Jewish Philosophy, published by Penina Press. So do we then, my question then to you, Rabbi Polishek, is, I know you can't rely on it, but could we not be surprised if we could interpret things that go on in our lives as God's involvement in our lives?
Well, in fact, God is involved in general in our in our lives. In effect, it's well known that that matters which are not dependent upon what we do ourselves in terms of God's commandments are basically determined by God. That doesn't necessarily mean it's done in a manner that that's clearly revealed. In fact, the whole story of the Book of Esther is not a clear revelation. We know that it's why do we know that it's we know that the Book of Esther was written with divine spirit, Baruch HaKodesh, with divine spirit, and that we know that we accept from the from our sages who indicated that they understood that that's the case, and that's the general the case of most of the books of scriptures that that we are aware of them or we accept them as binding and as valid because of the fact they were written with the Holy Spirit. And that's the basis under which we rely on all those books. That doesn't necessarily mean that they involve a clear revelation. And similarly, events that happen nowadays also are determined by God. God determines what will happen on things which are not dependent upon our keeping commandments. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that there are clear revelations that we can see in a very clear manner.
Okay, that's fascinating. I love that. Okay, big chapter is dedicated to reward and punishment.
Yes.
People, we are on a Christian radio station, and people have a tendency to think that the Old Testament is just chock-a-block full with fire and brimstone. And I've spent 35 years as a rabbi trying to interpret for people that you got it all wrong, that our God is a God of love, and there's not he's not a sitting like the expression is sitting on a throne and been heading waiting in heaven waiting to throw lightning bolts. But if you just read the surface of the Bible, that's kind of sort of what it seems. So how do we convey as Jews a beneficent God and a loving God when there's all these horrible things that are written down in the Bible?
Well, first of all, it's not always horrible things. They're rewards for doing things properly.
The emphasis is do the right thing, and then you don't have to worry about what happens if the wrong thing happens. Yes, of course.
Yes. Basically, God created us with the intent of there's a whole very long chapter on God's demands upon us, and God expects us to do what He wants us to do, and we also know that that God does many things which are beneficial to us. He gives us sustenance. He takes care of us in many many ways. But there's that side, and there's also the side that that God rewards people who do what He wants them to do, and He also punishes people who don't do what He wants them to do. In actual fact, in the chapter on God's actions, I point out that God says in the book of Exodus. That God chooses to whom to grant compassion and mercy. That's God can provide compassion and mercy when He wants to, and frequently He does do that.
Okay. And in light of this vein, then, if someone were to ask you, Rabbi Polachek, about burning issues like the Holocaust, as where was God in Auschwitz, and was this divine retribution? In looking at the Bible, as your philosophy seems to focus on exclusively, how could we answer such questions?
Okay, well, first of all, in the chapter of rewards and punishments, there's a very clear division between groups and nations on the one hand and individuals on the other hand. Individuals do not necessarily receive their reward and punishment in this world. In the Talmud, it's mentioned explicitly that there are such matters. We have the revival of the dead, which basically enables God to compensate people for suffering that they received in this world, which they did not deserve. And in general, the long term, God does compensate people if they suffer for things that they didn't deserve punishment for.
So then you couldn't call them a punishment then.
What?
If they didn't deserve it, then you couldn't call it a punishment. It would have to be something else.
It's suffering, but they receive compensation for such suffering.
Okay.
And we look at that on the individual level. The national level gets more complicated.
Okay. Can you explain it in 50 words or less?
The national level, we don't know what God's purposes are exactly. We do know that the Bible very clearly says that there are reward and punishment on a national level. On a national level, evidently there's something there, but we can't necessarily put our finger on it.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this book, and I'm really enthralled about it. And I just have a personal question for it. Did you enjoy writing this book? Were you like really getting into it? And it's like you'd find something and go, "Yes, I got something else to put in the book."
I enjoyed it very much. I spent a lot of time doing research and working on writing it.
I see by looking at the notes.
Very
yes,
much enjoyed it.
Yeah, this looks like something I wish I had the time to write. I mean, you know, it's just like sometimes I just look at things that people have written and said, "Boy, I wish I could have written that." And this is definitely one of those books. This is just going about to wrap it up. We want to thank you again for those who missed it. You can listen on RabbiFinman.com sometime this afternoon to the archived edition for the next month. The book is called The Biblical Outlook, Topics in Jewish Philosophy by Rabbi Shlomo Polichik. It is printed by Penina Press and is available on Amazon and wherever fine Jewish books are sold. And I want to thank you very much, Rabbi Shlomo Polichik, for coming on and sharing this with us.
Thank you.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We had a request. We had two requests this week, which is really good. You know, I like it when people request and they ask me for something. Okay, this lady was just anonymous. She didn't leave her name. And I have no idea. She's coming from somewhere in the internet. And she says that she wanted to hear Mickey Katz doing the St. Louis Blues, which means, of course, the St. Louis Blues. So here we have, this is a 1952 recording, Mickey Katz and his kosher jammers doing the St. Louis Blues.
I hate to see that evening sun go down. Had the two boys who made love to me late last night to Zen. That evening sun go down. Cause my St. Louis medal, the Vogue's a haroom downtown. Now listen up there. She's crafty, guns after. Oh, ho, ho, be Shane is the, hey, Shane is the, look at it up. Ah, see, come from a clean stable, St. Louis misery. And she is East V. Halava, oh, she's the boy for me. Yeah, yeah. St. Louis woman, who talks my diamond brew. Yeah, diamond brew, shame, hey, ever so much. Yeah, ask me, it's a man yet. Yeah, 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 gekauft die Kleider, gekauft ihre Fats für Koit. Der Fats für Koit, hell of two. Have rough moments, baby, yeah, yeah, with rising up mine heist. Ich hau die Blut, hau die Blut, yeah, 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 und ich weiß nicht, warum. Blues, you got the blues, 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 ich noch in my heart get the stock. Oh mama, ain't got no nachers. I give you a check, but you warf mir weg. Soll der Waffen, yeah, yeah, soll der Waffen kein nachers. Ich bin sad and forgotten. Hat ich in Tat ist Tate.
Chiropractic healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HIGH-HIGH.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Vinman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Time for a public service announcement. The Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit is Maimonides Society of Southeastern Michigan.
is having a lecture entitled Apocalypse Now, the Iranian Nuclear Threat Against Israel. A lecture by Professor Stephen R. David, who is a professor at Johns Hopkins Vice. He's a dean of undergrad education there, as a matter of fact, of political science. The lecture will be on Thursday, July 19th at 7 p.m. at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts, which is on the JCC West Bloomfield campus. It is open to the public, and a minimum gift of $18 to the Federation campaign is required. Dessert reception to follow. For more information, go to JewishDetroit.org, and you can RSVP, you have to RSVP by July 12th, which is not all that far away when you think about it. Does your organization having some kind of function? Well, best way to do it, send me an email about it. We could do attached files. That's also good if you can figure out how to do that. Send it to rabbifinman.com. And if deemed worthy, of course, we will announce it right here on our airways. And that is what one of the things that we're here for. We're here to serve you, folks. We have another request, which if you have a request for some kind of music, a genre, a specific song, a specific artist, or any combination of the three, well, contact me at rabbifinman.com and the general inquiries column over there in the contact page, and I'll do my best to get it. Now, the Girls from Chicago, this is a group that contacts me regularly, several times during the year. This is a group of high school girls in Chicago that listen to us on rabbifinman.com, have been bothering me, as I suppose 16-year-old high school girls are wont to do. The group 8 Day came out with a new CD. And they really wanted to hear some of this CD by 8 Day. The CD is called All You Got. That's the name of the CD. It is freshly released from Aderet. And we're playing for you, the girls from Chicago, just for you. Everybody else, you get to listen vociferously off to the side. This is 8 Day, All You Got.
You go up to heaven, you climb all those stairs. They won't ask you were you wise like Solomon. They won't ask you were you strong like Samson. They'll ask just one question and you give just one answer. It's the end of the game and only one thing matters. They'll say, did you give it all you got? 'Cause in this life you only have what you got. So give it, give it, give it all you got. In this world we only have what we got. So give it, give it, give it all you got. If you say it's easy, I'll say it's not.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say it's not for you, I'll say it's your lot.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say you're tired, I'll say tick-tock.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And you could put my album on a shelf to rot, just
give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
Working so hard and wiping those tears, you look in the mirror, you face all your fears. Don't be a fool trying to be wise like Solomon. Only the weak try to be strong like Samson. Oh no, oh no. I did what I said, I got no one to blame. Only one thing matters at the end of the game. They'll say, did you give it all you got? If you say it's easy, I'll say it's not.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say it's not for you, I'll say it's your lot.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And if you say you're tired, I'll say tick-tock.
You gotta give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
And you could put my album on a shelf to rot, just
give it, give it, give it, give it all you got.
It's like
easy, I'll say it's not.
You gotta give it all you got.
And if you say it's not for you, I'll say it's your lot.
You gotta give it all you got.
And if you say you're tired, I'll say tick-tock.
You gotta give it all you got.
No need to put my album on the shelf to rot. Just
give it all you got.
Hello, this is Frank Lovasco with Lovasco Concrete Services. We specialize in driveways and patios. You can call me at 586-822-9985.
Children, I hear you're listening to the Jewish Hour. When I pick music out, I know that there is a variety of listeners out there and with eclectic tastes. And so being that I want to please everybody, so I try to think, if I could do how many songs I have available, they should be in such a different style and genre as possible. So as this way, somebody gets to enjoy at least some of the songs that I play. If, like Mike, for example, I enjoy all of them, but that's just because I have eclectic taste. But so what was I thinking? So looking at the past two songs, which were requests, and so therefore I had my hands tied as to what to do. If I would have gotten a third request, I would have done that too, and then it wouldn't have this discussion now. So where am I going with this? Well, for your listening pleasure, this is Bowie V'Shalom by Shlomo Carlebach.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
You know the best place to buy fruit and vegetables? Why, it's at Fruitasia. Located on Southfield Road, just south of the 13 Mile, Fruitasia provides quality, value, and the most wonderful environment to shop. You'll enjoy the spacious aisles, excellent selection, great prices, and friendly staff at Fruitasia on Southfield Road and 13 Mile.
Hey, Schulfinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We are in Chapter 19 of the Book of Numbers. The portion is called Chukas, and starts out, Zos Chukas HaTorah. This is the statute of the Torah. And it talks about the process of the red cow, or the red heifer, as people are wont to call it, which is a purification process. If a person came in contact with a dead body, or something that came in contact with a dead body, was excluded from participation in the temple until he underwent the purification process, which involved the red cow. Question could be asked. There are numerous chukais in the Torah. Chayk is defined as those commandments for which we were not given any reason. Mishpatim, which is translated as civil ordinances, are those laws that if the Torah weren't given, we would do them anyway, and every society has them, the not stealing, murdering, and all that kind of stuff. Then there are the Eidos, which are the commemorative commandments, which since we have the Bible and we like to do the tradition stuff, so then we have commandments like Passover and saying the Shema and all those other things, which commemorate things that the Almighty did for us. And then the smallest category of the 613 commandments are those commandments that God says, trust me, then we have no clue why we do them. They include things like this purification process, how do people become ritually impure to begin with, the laws of kosher, the laws of not wearing wool and linen together. All these things fit into the category of a chayk, of this category of statute. So why is it if there are 15 or so chukais of these types of commandments, why does the Torah say zeis chukais, this is the statute. This is the statute. Let's give a little background information. The world doesn't exist. In fact, the universe, the creation, does not exist in a static form. Things are not just settled, but rather everything is moving. If you look at, say, a macroscopic level, you have all of the constellations are circling around one each other and circling around within each other, and there's all kinds of orbits going on. If you look at a microscopic level, you see that you have electrons and they're constantly losing their charge and gaining their charge and spinning around, and things are uniting and things are splitting up. And look at ourselves. You're always either breathing in or breathing out. You just don't stop. You stop breathing, what happens? I don't recommend you try that one at home, folks. So there's this constant going and coming back. In Hebrew, it's called ratza, running, and shuv, returning. And this is the way the creation is made by the Almighty. Everything is trying to go out and get charged. That would be sort of like you're inhaling. And then once you've inhaled, you got to do something with all that air that's in there. So what do? You exhale. Okay? And that's the return. And your heart is doing the same thing. Everything that's going on in every cell in your body through the process of diffusion and osmosis, depending on what's being diffused, is going back and forth. You might think that what would be the ultimate godly experience would be just to go out, experience infinite revelation, and stay there. The Almighty said, nah, we had people who tried that. Like, for example, a couple of weeks ago in the portion of Shemini, around chapter 8 of the book of Numbers, that was the book of Leviticus, right? That's a long time ago. In with the death of Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's two sons. That's back in Parshas Nasa, excuse me. They experienced the ultimate godliness, and they didn't come back. And they're called sinners because of that. Because the Almighty wants us to take that excitement that we got from experiencing the godly revelation like we were talking about before with Rabbi Polachek and bring it into something concrete and physical so that we can bring this infinity that we've experienced into this world. Thus, by clouding over the three dimensions, you might say, and making a three-dimensional object a vehicle for conveying God's infiniteness. And that is exactly what happened in the process of the cow, the red cow. The first thing that happened with this red cow after it was slaughtered is it was burnt. Fire, if you happen to notice what fire looks like, if you drew me a picture or you had like a flame suddenly, you'd notice that the top of the fire is always going up. Fire seems to be always going up. We're not going to go into the physics of why that's true. This idea of running, it's going up, trying to experience. But then what happened is after it was reduced to ashes, the ashes were sprinkled in water. You've never seen, they always have these things called waterfalls. They never see these things called water flies or water ups. Water doesn't do that. Water goes down. That's the inverse of fire. We know that fire and water are diametrically opposed one to the other. But here, in this act of the red cow, we're uniting the two forces, the idea of running and experiencing the divine and bringing it all back down. That's why it's called the statute in the Torah. We're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
This is Jim Hiller. At Hiller's, we support all things Michigan, which is why we support The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com. That's the best way. We have archived editions of the show. Going back 5 weeks or so, we have archived editions of the U Parsha, the Hasidic U Story, the E Parsha, which are insights on video and in text from yours truly into the portion of the week and story Hasidic stories. We also have the very important donations page. Thank God. It is the 24th of June, and we paid for June. Yay. Give yourselves a hand. You did it. It was totally and completely, well, there's some sponsorship, of course, but for the most part, listeners like you support the Jewish Hour and keep it going, and we need your continued support. If you didn't do it yet this month, please go to RabbiFinman.com, click on the donations page, click on the number that you choose, or choose your own number. There's an infinite number of numbers out there, and donate today. Don't wait. You'll appreciate it. God will appreciate it. I'll appreciate it. And all the listeners out there in Radio Land and on the internet will appreciate it too. We've been on live for 17 years and we want to keep on going. And we hope since we've been able to do it till now that you want us here. So we need you. Go do it today. Hasidic story really quick. Yesterday was the Rebbe Lubavitcher Rebbe's 18th anniversary of his passing. And people ask, was he a wonder worker? Did he perform miracles? They say that we couldn't even stop with a bookcase if we were to put them all down on paper. How many miracles are attributed to the Rebbe? One of them involves the family. There's an Israeli family, not religious. The Rebbe didn't care. The Rebbe just wanted things to happen that were good. And family wrote they had a daughter, a toddler, who had something called soft bone disease and was going to be confined to the wheelchair for the entire life. And they ran into a Chabadnik who said...